Blog Talk Radio.
No, I believe it's this kind of situation.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am so glad that you're joining our Friday Fellowship of Learners as we journey through Andrew Murray's School of Obedience. We are grateful that God has allowed us the opportunity to come together studying and seeking his strategy and plan for our life. We are surrendering to his sovereignty, and we pray that he will give us the heart to receive his truth, that it may show that we will be fit citizens of the kingdom of God. And so as we start our journey through this new book and this new year, we ask you a couple of questions. And so we want to first make sure that you are able to hear well and that Paul is transmitting accurately and with a good volume and quality of sound. So I want to play this song to as we adjust the different levels that we're will
God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you. That's everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery? watch God provide.
Thank you so much. Prayerfully, we have all the sound levels at the correct place so that the quality is good, because we don't want to miss a thing this morning. So good morning. Good morning. Everybody has been turned to live. So unless you want to speak, I encourage you to put your phones on mute so that we don't get any background noises from where you are. But I encourage you to definitely chime in at any time. This is dialogue time, because this is the fellowship of learners. We've come together to glean what God has for us all. And so as we start this new book, The School of Obedience, some of the background of this author, I think we're aware of. We've done some of his books before. We're going to hear references to those books. So this is like a continuation of a study. And we realized that one of the books was, Abide in Christ, and then Absolute Surrender. And so we realized that this is a continuing process. This is further information on establishing, dating, a truth of God in our daily living, so that it is exercised and it overwhelms and overtakes any past things that we may have depended upon, leaned on, and had faith in that was not based in Scripture. We have so often in our journey been affected by colloquialisms and our environment, what society says, the established standard for certain denominations and groups of people and races, and all of these things. Our pastor preached this Sunday, forget about it. Forget about it. And allow Holy Spirit, this is a moment-by-moment journey based on the empowerment and the knowledge that comes from God moment by moment in our lives. He is changing us, or he is growing us up. He's maturing us, that we don't need a guideline. We need the Word of God. That is what we stand on. But we don't need a routine or looking for a certain schedule that will bring about this maturity. It comes from an instantaneous, spontaneous, always seeking direction from Holy Spirit. It becomes relational. How close are your ears to the heart of God and to the Word of God from Holy Spirit? And so we are entering in a realm and in a level of our journey that the rules have shifted. They have not changed, but they have shifted. One of the things that God encouraged the children of Israel when they went over the Red Sea, they were to obey Moses. Moses was the one that was to lead and to guide and direct them. So they were to hear what the leader said and to do it. And when they crossed over into Jordan under the leadership of Joshua, they were told, look at, don't take your eyes off of the ark and the priest. So these are elements that God wants to bring into our journey as we cross into this new year. The priest is our precious high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was in the ark was the provision of God as well as the Word of God on the tablet. And so he's telling us to look to Holy Spirit and look to Jesus Christ. Don't take your eyes off of them because you're going in a way that you've never gone before. No matter how long you've been on this Christian journey, you have not went this way before because now your journey has taken you into a new place, a place of abiding in Christ on a level as never before. When I first got this book and I looked at it and I, oh my goodness. Remember to take the phones on you because we can hear background noise. So when I first got this book and I looked at it, you know, I was a little daunted and going, let's find another book. Because this book is going to take us into a level of knowledge and understanding that we have never had before, and we will be held accountable. We can't say, I didn't know. And so often there are things in the Word of God that we read and we kind of read over them. You know, we just fly right past them without lingering there and getting a true understanding of what it is God was communicating to us. And so when he says obey, we understand he means obey. But do we understand when he say, I command you? And how many times is that used other than to obey, but rather to command or to decree or to speak to us and require us to follow his instructions to the letter. And so those are some of the things we're going to look at everywhere. And I love this format because it's not the author's opinion. It is what is in the Word of God. And so the first thing he shares with us is his reason for writing this book. And so what I would like to present to you or to challenge you, why are you reading this book? What are you in this for? What are you in this fellowship for? What are you in this for? When we need to define that personally in order to glean from this study the level of treasure and unlimited, wow, power that God wants us to get in our journey. And so what are you in it for? What is your reason for reading this book? And so I want to give you a moment to really think about it. I wish you'd come with your journals and your paper and your cup of coffee and or tea or milk or juice and really come to glean something. Come to the table because he is coming to sup with us. He is sitting in the midst. Where two or three are gathered, he is there in the midst. And we're coming together to learn of him because that's what he commanded. Learn of me. And there are certain things that we're told to do, and it's not labeled a command, but it is a command. The very context in which it is given. And that's what the author does in this study. He goes to all of the places where we can understand the importance of obedience in the place of God. So in other words, how important is obedience to God? How important is it? And he intends to bring the evidence from the Word of God. And we've come to our own conclusion. How important is it? I realized in reading this that on every page there is a pause for prayer. There is a statement that we need to declare. There is a concept that we need to embrace. There is a stumbling block in our life that we need to overcome. In order to be in line and in harmony with the truth that's been declared on each page of this book. And so I encourage you, when you get to that place, mark it with a P, if you will, and pray. just make that one, some one sentence. I did a few, and I'll give examples of them as we go along from time to time. But there's so much in the present that we have to embrace that sometimes we have to stop and pray, Lord, help my unbelief, or, you know, help me overcome my disobedience. Reveal to me what is holding me back from doing exactly as you have commanded. And we'll come to get some insight as to why that needs this. So my first prayer on the first page was prepare our hearts for the study of what obedience is to you. Pure and simple, in Jesus' name. I need to understand how important obedience is to God. Where does God place obedience in the hierarchy of things that we are aware of that are associated with Him? And so the author begins in Genesis, and then he ends in Revelation with the first thing and the last thing that was said as it relates to being obedient. And we see that the first, thou hast the Lord commanded the man, saying to not eat, that was obey me. And he says, has thou eaten of the tree? Therefore, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And again, look these scriptures up in your Bible versions that are most comfortable for you. Read them in the original, and then read them in the translatable versions of the Bible in these places so that we get a clear picture. So I would like for someone to get Genesis 3 and 11, and someone else, Revelation 22 and 14. So Genesis 3 and 11, Revelation 22 and 14. Because these are the scriptures of obedience that the author pulls out from the first book and the first early contact with man that God has, and then the last book of the Bible with the last contact that the Word of God has with man. Any particular version that speaks to you, the version that you most enjoy reading from, or the Voice or the Message, the Passion. So a lot of them really says it a lot differently. And sometimes when we read it differently, we get a whole nother concept. But he says, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. So that's a lot of thee and thou and shouldest. But what does it say in the Message Bible, or the Living Bible, or Amplified Bible? Anybody that has it, please just come forth.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Elder. Roberta?
Elder Pat, she can go ahead. I'll read the next.
Okay, Mr. Pat, whoever. We got a lot of scriptures.
Okay. In Genesis 3:11 from the Message Bible, it says, God said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?
Amen. Amen. I told you not to eat from that. That's one way. That's the way we would say it now, as we would say it to our children or to one another. I told you not to. Whereas this version says, I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. I told you not to eat that. And that's pure and simple and devastating. The Living Bible says, Apostle, you want to come near the phone? Apostle wants to read, is going to read it out of the Living Bible. Oh, she was telling me. Okay.
The Living Bible says, who told you you were naked? So asked, have you eaten fruit from the tree I warned you about?
Okay, now, the tree I warned you about. Now we get an insight into, he's not just giving commands, do this and don't do that and do this and don't do the other. But what he shares with us and what he commands us to do is out of a love for our destiny. I'm warning you. Like we would warn a child. You can't go that route. So this wasn't just because he has a preference or he wanted to exert his power. And in even in the King James, he said that thou should have not. That's that the warning. This is something that you need to be aware of because it's not good for you. And it was so not good for us till it changed the destiny of mankind. And so we see that this one virtue of the paradise, of the Garden of Eden, of the perfect place of abiding with God, of a place of constant connection to the sovereign living God. The one virtue was not love me, is not have faith in me. It was not being humble. It was obeying. So the premier virtue that we need to embrace is the virtue of obedience. God put it very high on his place of what was important as it relates to his connection and his love and his input with the destiny of man. Because one of the things that we're asking, what are you in this for? The life of man. We're in this for something to do with our living. It's all involved in our life. And he is saying that it is of supreme importance for obedience because it decides our destiny. Now, not just will I be a doctor or will I be a lawyer, is will I go to heaven or will I go to hell. That's the ultimate destiny of man. And obedience is the premier virtue that we must embrace in deciding our destiny. And so then he lists in Revelation 22 and 14. Someone have that?
I have it.
Okay.
I have it in the King James Version, which I'm more comfortable with. And it's 22, Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. Anybody else? That same scripture.
The Message Bible says, which I have a little difficulty following the verses, but how blessed are those who wash their robes. The tree of life is theirs for good, and they'll walk through the gates to the city. But, okay, I guess that's verse 15. 14 is how blessed are those who wash their robes. The tree of life is theirs for good, and they'll walk through the gates to the city. That's the Message Bible.
Okay, go to the verse ahead of that, or the sentence
ahead of that. It says, yes, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. I'm bringing my payroll with me. I'll pay all people in full for their life's work. I'm A to Z, the first and the final, beginning and conclusion. He said 22, that's 22. How blessed are those who wash their robes.
the tree of life is theirs for good, and they'll walk through the gates to the city. But outside for good are the filthy curs, sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, all who love and live lies.
Okay. Now, that version gives us wash their robes. So there's a washing, a cleansing. And what brings cleansing is obedience. And we'll find that as we continue in the lesson. And so he's sharing in the end that same tree of life, that same place that is the destiny of man, can only be obtained through obedience. Okay? Only obtained through obedience. And so
that
when we...
The Amplified says, blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who cleanse their garments that they may have the authority and right to approach the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city.
Amen. Again, in our journey to our destiny of virtue that is indicated, it didn't say love, didn't say humility, it didn't say faith, it said obedience, it said cleanse means we are cleansed by the word of God. It's not that the word of God on us makes us clean, it's our obeying the word of God that cleanses the dross or the opinions and the standards of the world. The word of God lifts us up to the standard of God and his kingdom. And it cleanses from us all of the lies that hitherto we believed and we've lived by, and the standard that we thought we could maintain. And we'll see it, like I say again, as the author continues. So we want to remember these things. We're being cleansed from them, whatever our opinion was, whatever the preacher's opinion was. And it's only by the standard and the word of God through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that we receive the cleansing. Now, we have evidence of knowing when this cleansing is taking place. I love this because this was part of what the Lord has had us as a fellowship study. The evidence that Holy Spirit is the one doing it and not someone's opinion or someone's standard is that it will bring forth in us the fruit of the Spirit: love, peace, patience, long-suffering, joy, I'm going to get it, gentleness, kindness, and self-control, temperance, faithfulness. This is what it will bring forth. We, as doers of the word, then become faithful to the word. And so he shares the Old Testament, he shares the New Testament, he shares the beginning, he shares the end. As Christ said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning and the end. And what I love, he says, I am the author of salvation. I thought that that was just a term that I never had the full revelation of. But what he is saying is, I wrote the book of how to be saved. Not only I wrote it from the beginning, I finished it in the end, and I lived it in the middle, so you won't have to be confused. If it doesn't look like me, I am not the author, and it does not lead to salvation. And he said, I am the author of salvation. That just got me so excited. We read other authors, and we take them their word for the things they say. But he's saying, I am the author of salvation. In other words, I wrote the book on how to live, and I didn't just write it. I lived it so that you now know that you can do it as well. And so we just have so much, and again, like, this is another page where I thought my prayer was that he bring us back to a life of obedience, through which alone the Creator can give the Creator the glory through his name. So to praise God, to lift him up, to truly bring glory to God, our lives need to be obedient to God. It needs to be obedient to the author in whose book we say we read, and that stands for us. And so from the beginning to the end, and then he goes to the middle, which is midway between what we did and how he fixed it, is in the middle, and that middle place is Christ. He learned obedience and became the author of salvation. So he's sharing with us, we have to learn obedience by looking, keeping our eyes on the author of salvation. Remember, keep your eyes on the ark, the author of salvation. And so if they say, well, that was Christ, you know, and I ain't Jesus, then this is coming from the pit of hell. Because he said, you in me and I in you, and you will learn. And so don't say what you can't do, or you don't think he really wants you to do, or that's not really the way he wants. Someone penned some years ago, what would Jesus do? And this is, and not so much what would Jesus, what has Jesus done? Because that which he has done, he's imparted into us, a power to become, hallelujah. Okay, and so as we get through what Christ has done and what he has presented in the New Testament for us to know how and what it should look like, and he says that paradise, Calvary, and heaven all proclaim with one voice, child of God, the first and last thing thou God asks of thee is simply universal, unchanging obedience. I just want to read that one more time. Paradise, Calvary, and heaven all proclaim with one voice, child of God, the first and last thing thou God asks of thee is simple, universal, unchanging obedience. Hallelujah. All right. So, how important is obedience to God? What place does obedience have in the mind of God? It looks like it is very much at the top. I'm not going to say it's number one, but I'm certainly going to say it seems to be the thing he stresses every time he wants to guide his children into their heritage. Every time, this is what he shares with them: obey. And so the author gives us individuals in Scripture that this comes as an example through. And so we want to look at them. Oh, thing here. Oh, what is it? Okay. So he says, look at some examples. All right, you have Noah, Abraham, Isaac, you have Moses. Okay. And each one got to a place that they had to completely trust the word of God, what God said to them. They had to completely trust.
Good morning, Overseer.
Yes.
This is Elder Deborah. I just wanted to say I'm trying to multitask, and so I'm probably going to get off the line because I'm on my way to a funeral. But I just wanted to add, as I was reading through chapter 1, when you said earlier that get the translation, it might be easier. I'm like, spoiler alert, none of the translations are easier when you're looking up the scriptures that he is talking about. You know, I was reading, I'm like, oh, God, these people are going to beat me up about this book. Because, you know, I just find the first chapter is just so convicting just all by itself. It's like, okay, that could be a study unto itself. But that not, you know, notwithstanding, when you're talking about the people and you're talking about Noah and Abraham, when you get to the point, like I said, I know I'm going to have to get off the line, but when it gets to the point where it talks about Samuel and Saul, it was just like, wow. It made me just think about how in our own, what seems right to us in our own righteousness or what we think is our righteousness or where we think that we're being obedient and doing what God wants us to do, you know, and in his case where he almost did it, you know, in a couple of times when, you know, where he was able to defeat, but he didn't destroy all the spoils, where, you know, he was impatient with the sacrifice not being done and just thinking kind of like, and this was one of the things that jumped out at me when he decided to offer his own sacrifice. I think a lot of times as we in the kingdom of God, we see those who are, you know, when I say above, I'm just saying that in office, because I know that there's, you know, neither male or female in Christ, but a lot of times we might think that folks aren't doing what they need to do, and we might have a better idea or whatever, you know, and it's just one of those things that was like, oh, okay, you know, because sometimes we think that what folks do is easy and that we could do that and do it better, you know, and but if it is not anointed and God ordained, then, you know, we are reaping or heaping, you know, destruction to our own heads, you know, in that regard. So it's an awesome book, and I just felt like I was being, you know, when you see these people with the paint guns, as I was looking at some of those scriptures, it was like pow, 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 pow. I'm like, my God, Deuteronomy, you know, just as he's going through, I'm like, is it really that many? You know what I mean? You know it, but you don't really think about it, because I think once we come to Christ as far as salvation, you know, we're like, okay, we got that big ask, you know, out of the way. You know, we're obedient to that. You know, I'm not forfeiting heaven, but it is so much more, and just the nuances of our disobedience in you know, whatever, in thought, in deed, in holding on to things that are ritual and tradition. Mm-hmm. I've been doing some study on some of the real popular kind of evangelists and stuff like that. And some of it honestly just breaks my heart, because some of the teaching I know is really rich. But, you know, you can't have a true word with, you know, a little bit of sin in it. You know, it can't be 99% right and just a little bit of heresy in it or a little bit of blaspheming in it. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes it breaks my heart. Some of these folks I grew up, you know, studying and reading and, you know, and all of, and watching and those kinds of things. But the more we get into the Word of God and just understand that it's all about Christ, and if that is not the focus, then it's not about Christ. You know, it doesn't matter if 95% of it is, you know, but sometimes that's a hard thing. Sometimes it's hard to pull away from things that we know. And so, you know, my prayer, as you said, you know, what is our prayer or our praise, is that I have the courage in those things and those places and those opinions and traditions that the Holy Spirit convicts, like, yeah, almost, but no. So that's not me. To be able to just uproot that and move on, you know, and not be heavy-hearted, you know, about it, if that makes any sense. But anyway, I'm going to put you on mute, and I'm going to try to get a little bit before I go into this church. But, you know, God bless, and I'll be trying to listen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Elder. And I hope we heard that, because in each of the situations
we can definitely bring it to the 21st century. And that is what we do. What's popular? And you know, and as she was speaking, it's how many sermons, you know, do we hear? And then the power of the message is tainted by something. We're talking about a dress code in ministry. We're talking about a lot of different things. But how, and, you know, and even in conversation, you know, is it, and I'm just going to throw that out maybe for one of the subjects of our Wednesday class, which I encourage people to come out for. When a servant is leading and preaching and speaking, and then they use a curse word. And just like Elder Deborah said, you cannot defile holiness, or it's not holy anymore. It is not. And God is not, is that one, that's one of them things going to burn up. Now, he can say, God says, I'll make all things work to your good. You can still be blessed. But can you understand how we have handcuffed God from putting all that's in his hands upon our lives because we have ourselves there? We have our flesh there. We have the popular way there. We have the mindset of pleasing the people there. We have the mindset of entertaining the people. We have the mindset of making the people happy, making them comfortable. You know, and that's not just for preachers. That's us as parents, as workers, as community individuals, you just living life. And so God is showing us as Christians. Now, the thing is not to condemn, but the thing is once we know the truth, then we become real intercessors because we immediately stop and pray. And the power of your prayer sends the angels. It sends the power of heaven to bring a correction into whatever was not holy. That's what happens. God has an army to fight evil. He got that army. His army is bigger than the devil's army. The devil only had one third. So that means God got two thirds, okay? Bare minimum. All right. So they're trained. They're ready. They can fight this evil. We are to send them. We are to, through our words, activate the powers of heaven to help cleanse even within the body of Christ. So we don't put our mouth on them or what they do. Then we become that brother that sat on the hill and started taking notes and keeping score of what the other one was doing wrong or pointing a finger. Or judging because they have a righteousness that's not their own because it comes from Christ, and they are claiming it as their own when it is a gift. And were it not for Christ, they would be in that same position or place. So we've been taken out of that place, or we're in that place, and we need the prayer of the other place, of those that are true intercessors. And this is how our destiny, not our destiny, but this is how the purpose and the fulfillment of our life will reach its full potential in the world when we do, just like in that book of The Power of a Praying Woman, it's the same power of a praying person. He said the effectual, fervent prayer, the righteous avail of us. So in other words, when you pray about that evil, God is going to fix it. When you pray about that spirit that is not of God, there are angels to take care of that for us. And so we don't have to that's why we're not condemned, because we would be condemned already because we were right where they are. And daily we're liable to stumble in the same ditch that they're in, that we're pointing a finger to. So I love this presentation in that it shows in different situations. For instance, we'll just do the one that Elder Deborah did as it related to Paul and to Saul and Samuel. And when Saul, and I remember when I first read, when Saul and the army went and killed the people and he didn't destroy everything, I thought, well, how nice. He saved that for God. And God is letting me know, I don't need you to save nothing for me. You don't need to do that, disobey me. No, and you know what? And Saul, you know, he's just like these politicians now that say, I've done nothing wrong, because he didn't think he did anything wrong. But when you look at what God told you to do, if you don't do it to the letter, like Moses did in building the tabernacle to the letter, and there were so many instructions with measurements and color code, and anybody that ever built or made or sold, you know, if you don't follow the directions to the letter, when you get through knitting, you're going to see the flaw. You know, when you get through painting, you're going to see the spot you missed. You know, when, if you didn't put another nail in that, you're going to feel the weakness of the structure because you thought that was an extra screw and you really didn't need it. You really do have to follow the instructions. We have to follow the instructions of God, not our way, but God's way. And so he knew that his way was a hard way. He knew that. He said, but I'm going to help you because I'm going to give you me and give you me in the form of my spirit, who will empower you to do what I have commanded you to do. So now it's a done deal, and we need to see that. And so as Saul went in to do the sacrifice, he didn't wait on the Lord. That was the thing. How many times do we not wait on the Lord? And we do a good thing, but we didn't do it in the right time, nor did we do it with the correct instructions that God gave us, and we have to repent. Now, what I realized with all of these errors that were made in disobedience, if Abraham had not been obedient and he had not had the faith to sacrifice his son, his generations would not have been blessed. So you want your generations blessed? Or put it this way, you want your sons and daughters and your grandkids to do the right thing and stop doing what they do, then obey God. Because of the head obedience, it came down, it was trickled down. You know, as they come out the beard, you know, and trickle down through the body. Well, it does the same thing in our lives and with our families and with our households. And our disobedience trickles down as well, only it looks a lot worse when it gets down and as it goes. But our obedience is blessed by God. And so God promised, he told Abraham, because you've done this, not only are your generations going to be blessed, nations are going to be blessed. So now he's saying, now the world that I love and created can be blessed because you were obedient. And so it's like, okay, so you feel you got the ministry to the world. The way to do it, obey God. Obey all of his commands. And it says here, miracles that bring, as it is in heaven, down to earth, comes through obedience. So we say that prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Then what we're saying is, I'm praying to be obedient, because through my obedience, your kingdom will come. Because you've already said it will. Through my obedience, it will come, and you will bring it through me. And this is what he shows us, is each one of these individuals obeyed God. Then his kingdom came, his blessings came, his power came, his change came to generations, to nations, to people, to families, and the desire of their heart was marked by one thing, and that was utterly giving up to God's will. And so he's saying that all who profess walk in that, in the footsteps of those that have come before us. And so this is part of our reward. Christ said he's coming back with his reward in his hand, and he's going to give the reward out based on what has been written. What did you write? What obedience marked your story and caused it to affect all those around you? And so we can change even the, what I want to call it, the the nature of our praying. Okay, we want miracles. We're praying for manifestation, maturation, and miracles. We need to pray for obedience because that's how it comes. Maturity comes from obedience. Maturity comes because we obey the word. We strengthen our spirit man, and he becomes mature. He becomes more like Christ because we have obeyed. Now, manifestation comes as we study, as we looked at the word, as we sought the word. You know, God manifests its truth to us. One of the things that the author says is God is not going to give his word to those that don't love him. And that's why what we read, you understand, because you love God, his Holy Spirit will reveal his truth to you. God doesn't reveal his truth to his enemies. He reveals him to the ones that love him. That's how he manifests. That's how the manifestation came to us, because we had a love for him. We had a innocent, as a child, love for him and trust for him where we were. But now he wants to take us far. Now we say we want to see miracles. Then he's saying, because you desire this from me, that I will give them to you as I mature you. And so that maturing comes through obedience. And that obedience comes through the testing that comes in our life and the terms and the instructions that we're given from men and women of God. How obedient are we? If you're faithful over a few to the truth, faithful to the instructions, then I'll give you more. And so as we obey, not justify or try to find a loophole or make it a microwave thing, a quick, don't be like Saul, wait on the Lord. Don't get weary in waiting. That Saul was waiting at the temple. Samuel ain't here. Where's Samuel? Samuel better come. You know, that's like saying, okay, the preacher, he ain't where he should be. He needs to hurry up, and she needs to get it together. Da 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 da. Oh, I'll do it myself. I'll leave. I'll go somewhere. Whatever. Wait on him. Sit and wait on the Lord. Be still, and he's got to say, and know that I am God. This is my picture. Don't write graffiti over it. I love that. And it's like when we put our own will over God's picture for his people and for different individuals, we are writing graffiti, garbage, over the beautiful picture that God sees and will bring to pass if we will keep our hands off of it and our hearts in him. And so he doesn't condemn us for this, but he does correct us for this. This is what the job of Holy Spirit is. Because disobedience robs us of divine direction. So when you don't wait on God and you try to do it yourself, you are not going to end up in a divine place because of it. Now, you may end up in the right place. Saul definitely got the sacrifice, but it didn't bring about the power and the blessing that it would have and should have had he not, or had he waited on God and not did it on his own. And because of that, he lost the kingdom. He lost his kingship. He lost his position. And then, if you remember in his story, he lost his peace. He lost his mind, because then he became so troubled and so foolish, those things that were right, he hated. He came to hate those things that were of God, and he knew they were of God. And so we have to be careful to not think, or careful to understand we cannot play. You know, God says, God is not mocked. He, you know, Christ said, I got a record of everything. You can't justify it or explain it to me. There is no explanation. Unless it's God's will, then it is sin, and we have disobeyed. And as a result, something is going to be robbed. So the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we often help him to do it. But the fruit, his way. And yet we can see it and say, you know, I am saved, filled, and, you know, with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that saying is. That's probably why I shouldn't say it. So, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And to disobey is to despise God's word and his will. Because if you don't want to wait and do it God's way, then you're saying you don't like God's way. You despise God's way. Oh, my God. No, I didn't really mean that. Yeah, but that's how he sees it. If I said that and you don't do it, you're telling me you despise what I've given you. You did, now you want to despise that, but you want blessing out my other hand? No, you get the curse. Because if you don't obey, you're cursed. If you obey, then you're blessed. So it's even said, don't pray for the blessing. Pray for the obedience, because it automatically guarantees you the blessing. It makes it possible for us to, for God to give what he has to offer us. That's one of the things the author shares. I don't even know what page I'm on right now. It only makes it possible through obedience. Okay? Now, as we are remembering, okay, different other scriptures that we have rested on and we have stood on, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and, you know, you don't work to get, you know, acceptance and faith, but if you have faith, then you will work. And faith is perfected. Faith has to be perfected, and faith is perfected through obedience. Obedience is what will cause our works to be acceptable. And so, remembering now the root of, we were told to be faithful and to have faith, but now back up from that, in order to have faith, we have to be obedient to the word. We have to be obedient to the commandments of God. And as I said, we were obedient to the first level. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We had faith in that. We believed that, and that belief came out of our obedience to the truth. And so, in order for our faith to grow, we must be obedient, and our works will establish his will on earth, because we will be obedient to his will. And so the author says obedience is the very starting point of true holiness. And so our character, this is one certificate of Christian character. Let us love in deed and truth. Hereby we shall assert our heart before him. And remember, he says obedience is the secret of a good conscience and of the confidence that God hears you. So in other words, if you're not obedient, you won't have confidence that what you pray you'll receive. It says it is the love of God that we keep his commandments. The obedience that keeps his commandments, this is the garment in which the hidden, invisible love reveals itself, and thereby it is known. So in other words, it's only when we put on obedience, we put on the righteousness of Christ, he puts it on us, we obey and keep his commandments, and then that garment that the world sees, this body, this flesh, this temple, will be revealing that love that the world is a love that's too incredible to be described. The love that's indescribable, because it's invisible in that it comes from the heart of God through those that have a heart of God, through those, again, going back to the other training, a loving heart, a heart that has been cleansed, that has been tamed, that's been sold out, that's been non-judgmental, all of these things. And Christ said, remember, he learned to obey. So if you don't have it, there is no condemnation. But what the condemning thing is, if you don't want to learn. But as long as we sit at his feet and learn of him, keep our eyes on him, then that plan of God has for our life will work. So I just want to read the last paragraph. It says, let this, our first study, awaken in us an earnest desire to know God's will fully concerning this truth of obedience. Let us unite in praying that the Holy Spirit may show us how defective the Christian life is where obedience does not rule all, surrender all. How that life can be exchanged for one of full surrender to absolute obedience, and how sure it is that God in Christ will enable us to live it out in Jesus' name. That is the prayer that we will have confidence that God will answer in our hearts. So I open it up for your comments, insight, revelation, inspiration, commitment. Anybody? Amen. We have silence on the line. It is.
Well, Mr. Paulette, I don't have a book yet, and I couldn't get online.
Yes.
Overseer, you were saying that there were prayers throughout all of this. I've read it, but the one that really stands out is on page 5. It says, may God reveal to us whether we are indeed going all length with him, seeking early to destroy all and spare nothing that is not in perfect harmony with his will. That stood out.
Am I hearing
half of what he's saying to me, or am I doing all that? Am I hearing everything, or I'm just picking what he says? Oh, okay, God, I'll do that, but I'm not too sure about that. You know, that stood out for me. Destroy all, utterly destroy all, spare nothing. Yeah, that stood out. That's my prayer.
Amen. Amen. And I love that, because also with that prayer, I saw that, and I want to share with people in a minute, but the fact that sometimes we hear it, but we don't stay to hear the rest of it. We have to linger in his presence. He may not speak as quick as we speak. You know, he don't have to go and pick the kids up or go to the apartment or whatever. We need to make it where it's time where we can sit and hear everything he is saying to us. So sometimes we move before we've heard the rest of it. Okay? And so we do want to encourage, you know, this is a time of learning. So now we can make a prayer, Lord, let me hear all that you have to say, you know, to me concerning this. And also I would like to share with individuals, people will be giving page numbers and things like that, because some people have it in the book, and there's a couple of books, and their pages are different. And then some people have it in the PDF file, and so their pages may be different. And so, however, it's still chapter one, and that's for sure.
Okay.
It's kind of like the not sure what, you know, what verse is what, but it's all there between the, you know, these pages. So anybody else? Thank you so much.
You know, I will say, as I was reading, and I was saying, why these trees must be spiritual trees all of a sudden. I said, because there can't be a tree in the front yard, backyard. These trees are saying something. I said, he's saying something. These trees are really spiritual trees. And I got that, and I said, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm getting it.
Amen. Now, that's a phenomenal revelation. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? And that's a phenomenal revelation. These are the tree of life, and that's what you're speaking of, right? In the beginning and in the end, that tree of life is a spiritual tree. It's not what we think of, right? Because one tree got leaves that heal and stuff, and they change every month. That's pretty cool. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. What a revelation. Spiritual truth. Okay. And as human, as flesh, we can't handle the spiritual. Jesus. I'm thinking that. Wow. That's powerful insight. Anybody else?
I wanted to say something again towards where you said that some of us, we don't sit in his presence long enough to hear it all. And then I was reading another part of it that stood out to me was that when you obey his commandments, where it was in, let me see, this is in Exodus, it says, according to all the Lord's command, Moses, so did he. So what happened after that? It says, and then the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then it did it again. And then the glory of the Lord appeared before the people. So in our obedience, we'll come into his. He'll be there in our obedience, is what I took from this. It brings us into his presence.
Amen. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because it says that he came in the temple, then he came before the people.
Mm-hmm.
So the temple could be the body, okay? It could also be the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's a progression. If it comes in us, then the world is going to see it too. So it said it was present before the people, either being the church or being people, or able to see it because it was in the church. And so a wonderful, wonderful revelation. You see how God is revealing mysteries to us. And it's like, you want the presence of the Lord, don't pray for it, obey for it. But you already, it's going to be there. You do what he says, his presence is going to be there. And when it's there, okay, then the people are going to see it too, because they'll see it through you. You'll be the living embodiment of him. And of his power and of his love. Oh, my God. And so that's why I say it's going to shift the way we pray. We have to pray. You don't have to pray no more for the presence of God. You don't. Just obey. He said, it's guaranteed. You ain't got to ask me to come. You obey me, I'm there. He just said, when two or three together, he just said, pray that I come. He said, if you two or three together on one accord, I will be in the midst. I'm there. So can you see how our prayers have been redundant? You know, we have been, you know, laboring for something we don't have. That's a done deal. What we need to labor for is one accord. What we need to labor for is, Lord, let us love. Because once we love in one accord and we're together, and that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and the book expresses that, what happened was Peter realized two things. Okay? He had to surrender to God's will. And he had to wait with the people. And they had to be on one accord. We have to come together on this. You know, we have to come together wanting this not because of the blessing of it, but because of the power of it, because of the righteousness of it. It's right because, you know what, God is like that. He really is that and more than we can add to it. How can you describe an indescribable God? Okay, and so that brings us all to the spirit of obedience and love and one accord. When we come together like that, you ain't got to pray to puff it up. You ain't got to ask me to raise my hand. You know what? You have to probably ask us, would you please sit down for a minute? Like, no. But you know, God will bring order in all things, and I understand that. But I'm just getting us to visualize the way God sees this thing happening. You know, we look to the order of service. No, you got to look to the order of the word. Let's obey. You know, when we tell everybody to leave, you know, you say, obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? He's going to tell you what God wants you to do, and you obey it. So obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then you will enjoy the ministry of one another. And that's what Elder Deborah said, to do it, and to do it with a different kind of spirit. This is the spirit of joy and rejoicing, because this is some powerful stuff going on, and we've been included in it. We who are truly unworthy, but that comes through the grip of grace. We have been allowed this. Excellent revelation and insight. Anybody else?
Can I read Exodus 19 and 4 out of the Message?
Yes.
Okay, it says, if you will listen obediently to what I say and keep my commandments, out of all people, you'll be my special treasure. The whole
Amen.
Earth is mine to choose from. Yes. You're special. A kingdom of priests,
Amen.
A holy nation. To be a particular
Absolutely.
Treasure to me. Isn't that
yeah.
awesome?
That is incredible. How can
I'll
you be a treasure? Amen. To someone that has everything. And then they look at us as a treasure. A valuable addition to what they have.
That's deep.
Amen.
Deep.
I know, Minister Pat. Amen.
That's
Amen.
Deep.
Yes, hello?
Yes, Ms. Pat.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it was one part. I can't find it now, but I think it was in the preface when it was speaking of the yielding to the obedience of him. And
the what?
Yielding, that we may yield, but I can't, I was trying to find
okay.
where it said that. But it was speaking on yielding to the obedience of God. And
oh, I think that's
that,
near the end, right?
I thought it was toward the end, too, on page 4, but I can't find mm-hmm. it. And I had wrote it down. But everything that everybody said, it was a few scriptures that, and the prayers to me have been phenomenal. And
oh, it says, okay, I got it for you. It says, have we indeed given obedience, that supreme place of authority over us that God means for it
yes.
to have, as the inspiration of every action and of every approach to him. If we yield ourselves to the searching of God's Spirit, we may find that we never gave it true proportions in the scheme of our life, and that this lack is the cause of all our failure in prayer and in work. Absolutely. I highlighted that myself.
Yes, yes, yes. That was it.
Yes.
And when
Absolutely.
You ask the question, what are you in this, what are you wanting to get out of this, is so I can yield
mm-hmm.
to his will and not my will.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Obedience.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they on
yeah.
every page there is a prayer that we can pray that will change the way we pray. Because we'll pray more fervently because we have a deeper understanding of his plan. Amen. Anything?
Amen.
Anybody else? We're so glad that you are coming and sharing. We pray that this will bring insight and enlightenment, excitement, and it'll fuel the fire, the passion that we should have as children of a living God. He says, child of God. That's wonderful. You know, Timothy goes around and he says to his godmommy, I'm your son. I'm your son. That has value to him. And he's our father. We're his sons and we're his daughters. And that's a very powerful love position to have. And it comes with certain expectations. So when Timothy says, you know, I'm your son, he's expecting a certain type of behavior from his mother to him. And so when God says, you're my son, you're my daughter, he's expecting a certain kind of behavior from us. You know, and generally, you know, it is not generally, what does it say? According to his word, it is a virtue that is of extreme importance in his plan and in his heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you, somebody.
Thank you.
Amen. So I thank you. I don't know who brought this book. I think it was Elder Roberta. All right. Here we go. Next week,
Amen.
We're doing the obedience of Christ. And again, I encourage you, you know, be prepared. You really need a journal with this book, you know, so that you can write down the prayers and, you know, just on a certain section of the journal, listed as prayers, because they're really just one sentence, really out of the book, just kind of adjusted to be personalized by you. But write it down, and then see the kind of prayer declaration you will come up with after this book. It will be powerful sharing tool in obedience, in sharing even the topic of obedience with people. And so write down your prayer. You know, just your one word prayer, whatever. Could be one word. It's all one sentence, just a couple of sentences. Prayer in a certain part of your journal, and then in another part of your journal, write down. You know, divide your journal into three parts. Okay, and this is just coming, so it must be from God, it's not from me. One is the prayer part, and then the other is the scripture part of what God. Word is, I don't want to say his word, but what God is communicating to us in his word about this, and then how it changed or affected what we were doing or what we will do. You know, did it bring something into our life? Did it take something out? And we need to see that, because once we you know, it says write the vision and make it plain, but once we see it in writing, you can really share it, just like Andrew Murray did. Now, I'm not saying you're going to write a book, but you will have a document that you and others can refer to. Because sometimes once we finish, we lose some of the power of what we talked about. But if you made bullet points of it, you can always go back and you can see it, and Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance. Okay,
Amen.
The power of that point when
Amen.
You received it. And
Amen.
So I do, I encourage you to, you know, get a journal for this book. Get a notebook and a piece of pencil. And, you know, this time you're going to have to sit up. You can't just lay down in bed and keep just listen. You're going to have to sit up and start writing some stuff. And not maybe so much as we do it, but as you study it, as we speak, and then after we speak. Okay. Make certain observations. I personally, my book is going to look like that, because I've decided to put symbols throughout my book. When it's a prayer, I'm putting it in brackets, and I'll change it to personalize it. You know, and so you can do that color coding. Everything, you know, yellow is gold. That's what God says. Everything green is something I need to do or doing and need to stop doing. And so you can go through it, you know, with that, and it's all in one book. But I encourage you to be more than just hearers, but doers as it relates to this and every study that we do, but to really document, even make notes when, you know, this was from Abide in Christ. When I wondered, how can I abide in Christ? He's telling us now, this is how you do it. You know, when you talk about fruit of the Spirit, well, you know, I don't have that fruit. And he said, you don't have it because of this. And when you see this disobedience, then you can obey. Or my heart is not there. How can you can see why it's not there? And then you can surrender that thing in prayer to God, and Holy Spirit will help you, and his word will cleanse you. And so it is an ongoing, what do they call it, a cumulative thing that we're doing, that he's doing, that God is doing, because this is truly his idea, and it's under his direction and his will that we come together on Friday. So I thank you all, I pray you have a obedient day in the Lord, and that you take some time to make sure you hear all that you have to say. So I look forward to next week. So be blessed. Good day.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And